10 minutes.
We're quite a ways ahead of the other one that we came.
We'll reconvene the hearing. The next case on the docket is case 2908. On a motion of the commission to consider the application of BWAB Inc. for an order permitting the drilling of a well approximately 660 feet from the north line, 660 feet from the west line of Section 6, Township 139 North, Range 96 West, Stark County, North Dakota, as an exception to the spacing requirements of the buffer zone of the Dickinson Heath Pool. Would all those who wish to appear in this matter please rise and take the oath? Do you promise to tell the truth?
Yes,
I do.
You may proceed.
My name is John Morrison, Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota. Hearing this matter on behalf of BWAB Inc., the matter is case number 2908. This is an exception location. I have two witnesses in the matter. In your packet of exhibits, there are two preliminary matters before we get to the exhibits. First, there's a copy of the application in the packets. Paragraph number 6 of the application notes that all offset owners or operators have been notified as of the exception location. There goes one question, Lawrence.
Yeah.
The second thing is a list of the exhibits which we will be presenting. Okay, Rick, would you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Richard B. Porter.
And by whom are you employed in what capacity?
BWAB Incorporated, and I'm manager of land operations.
And you are employed in the Denver office, is that correct?
Right.
Have you previously testified before this commission as an expert witness?
No, I haven't.
Would you briefly review for us your professional and educational background?
I'm a graduate of the University of Wyoming in 1976, was associated with Shell Oil Company for 4.5 years in both Houston, Texas and Sydney, Montana, with extensive Williston Basin experience. And I've been associated with BWAB just over 2 years.
And does the Williston Basin, North Dakota in particular, constitute part of your duties with BWAB?
Yes, it does.
And have you reviewed and made yourself familiar with all the relevant land data relating to the Dickinson Field?
Yes, I have.
And in connection therewith, have you prepared certain exhibits for use in your testimony today?
I have coordinated the preparation.
Okay, and you have reviewed the contents of each of these exhibits?
Yes, I have.
And you're satisfied with the accuracy of the matters depicted upon them?
Yes, I am.
I'd offer the further testimony of Mr. Porter as an expert witness.
Any objections to Mr. Porter's qualifications? You may proceed.
Rick, would you turn first to Exhibit 1, identify it, and briefly discuss its relevance for us?
Exhibit 1 is basically a land position around our supposed exception location in the northwest of Section 6, 139-96. It depicts the current land status with expirations. And the following page are notations of all leases that are not noted on the front map. And the last page are the addresses of all lessees in the area.
Okay, and then turning to exhibit number 2. One other matter on exhibit 1. What is the nature of BWAB's interest in this particular spacing unit?
BWAB has acquired farmlands from Unitex and Shell, and is planning on drilling on that basis.
Okay. And then when you turn to Exhibit 2, and identify it and briefly review it, please.
Exhibit 2 shows our proposed well location again and depicts all producing wells in a mile area around the location, pea and egg wells, and injection wells within the boundary. And the following pages show the data as the well file number, permit number, the operators of all those wells, the well name, location, the application date, completion date, total depth, and current status of those wells.
Rick, do you know what the spacing is for the Dickinson Heath Field?
Yes, both 116 and 320.
Okay.
Pardon me, I didn't hear what you said.
There's one area, the original was 160, and then it was amended to 320 outside.
Okay, now the area we're talking about would be in the zone which is spaced for 160s, is that
right?
Correct? And do you know what the well location rules are for this particular zone?
Right.
Would you
be just the before? southwest of Section 6.
Okay, and so your well's an exception not because of distance from a unit line, but merely because of the quarter-quarter location?
Quarter-quarter location.
Okay. One other matter on Exhibit 2, Would you review the status of that well in the southwest of Section 31?
It was a permitted location which was dropped.
Okay, so a well's never been drilled there?
No, it hasn't.
And do you know when that permit was issued?
1967.
Okay. I have no further questions of this witness.
Are there any questions for this witness? You may proceed as your next witness.
Tim, would you state your name and spell your last name for the record, please?
My name is Tim T. Showalter, S-C-H-O-W-A-L-T-E-R.
And by whom are you employed in what capacity?
I'm a self-employed consulting geologist, currently under full-time retainer with BWAB Incorporated.
And you are appearing in this matter on behalf of BWAB, is that correct?
That's correct.
And have you previously testified before this commission as an expert witness?
No, I have not.
Would you briefly review for us your educational and professional background?
I have a master's degree of science in geology from the University of New Mexico, 15 years of oil business experience, 5 years Shell, 6 years with Kirkwood Oil and Gas in Casper, Wyoming, 3 years with Mossbacher and Pruitt, and 5 months as a consulting geologist. 8 years have been involved in various projects in North Dakota.
Okay, and have you made a study and review of all the relevant geologic data relating to the Dickinson Heath Pool?
Yes, I have.
And have you prepared certain exhibits you intend to use in your testimony today?
I have, and under my supervision.
And you've reviewed all the contents of those exhibits personally?
Yes, I have.
And you're satisfied with the accuracy of the matters depicted thereon?
Yes, sir.
I'd offer the further testimony of Mr. Schoedwald as an expert witness.
Any objections? You may proceed.
Okay. For the commission's information, we do have one copy of Exhibit 3, which is color-coded, and we can try to perhaps turn it around and hold it up, and you can maybe a little more informative. And Tim, would you first identify what we have as Exhibit number 3, and then briefly discuss it for us, please?
This is Exhibit number 3, which is a well location map and spacing outlines for the Dickinson Heath Pool and associated pools of South Hart and Hart River. The emphasis will be to show the mixture of spacing requirements within the area, which I can now describe if you would like me to do.
Fine, go ahead.
The Dickinson Heath Pool was first spaced in 1950, or in the 1950s, I believe, 57, 58, as a 160-acre spacing area shown in orange on this coded map. The well locations requirements required a well to be located in the southwest quarter of each 160, again shown in orange. The buffer zone would be shown in stipple orange, which would be due south of that, and then would therefore also require 160-acre spacing and a location in the southwest of each quarter section. The spacing now surrounding this original 160-acre Zone 1, as it's now called, of the Dickinson Heath Pool, is also shown on this map, being Zone 2 of the Dickinson Heath Pool, which is shown in green, which requires 320-acre spacing for the size of the producing units and wells to be located in the southwest-northwest and southeast-southeast of each 640-acre section. The buffer zone of that field is shown by the stippled green, a mile and a half around that. In addition, the adjacent fields are shown to bring to the hearing's attention of the sort of modern spacing rules that are applied in the Tyler Heath Pool. For example, South Hart Field is also spaced 320, as is Zone 2 of the Dickinson Heath Pool. The difference being it allows for flexible drilling locations, being no closer than 660 from a unit boundary or 1980 from existing wells. Hart River Field, which is shown in brown, the same as South Hart River, is shown in brown because the spacing rules are identical, that being a 320-acre spacing and wells no closer than 660 or 1980. Back to our proposed location, the legal location would be a southwest-northwest of Section 6 for geologic reasons, we would like to drill a well, which will be discussed, the geologic reasons, in the northwest of 6th. This exhibit is primarily drawn to show that although we're asking for an exception, we would still be fitting the guidelines of the modern spacing units next door. That being, we'll be 660 from the boundary line of the field, and we will be much more than 1980 feet from any existing well or permitted well. For example, we will be 4,100 feet from the nearest well that has produced from the Tyler Heath Pool, which is now a water injector. We will be 4,500 feet from the nearest well currently producing from the Heath within the pool. These numbers are shown on your map. And we will be approximately 4,500 feet also from the Unitex well, which is a non-commercial well from the Tyler Heath that is currently only producing 2 barrels of oil per day. That describes Exhibit 3.
Just for information purposes, is it correct that the Heath field itself has been unitized?
The Heath field has been unitized and is currently under water flood. Both zones 1 and 2 are involved in that unitization.
Okay, and this particular area in the buffer zone would not be part of the unit boundaries, is that correct?
That's correct. It would be outside the unit, and for note to the hearing, Unitex asked that their well be included, I think the whole north half of 6, be included in the unit, the water flood unit, and they were denied that request by the unit operators, indicating probable separation or apparent attitude of the unit operator that the Unitex pool was separate from the existing unit pool.
Okay, Tim, would you turn next to what you marked as exhibit number 4 and identify it, please?
This is a geologic cross-section of the Tyler Heath zone through the runs north-south through the south-central portion of the greater Dickinson Heath pool, mainly through zone 1 of the 160-acre spacing. The location of the wells are shown on Exhibit 5, which you can refer to when we get to that. The main point of this geologic cross-section on Exhibit 4 is to show that the Tyler sands that do produce in this area are thin sands that are long and linear but quite narrow. And it's shown clearly that the closest producing well, the Atlantic Richfield number 1 JJ Cardmus, does have the Tyler B and C sands and is productive. However, the Unitex twin to a previous dry hole, those sands are thin or absent. And without those sands, picked on 36 gamma ray units, you may have production, but it will be non-commercial. So the geologic reason, which will also follow in Exhibit 5 for us wanting to drill an exception location, is we feel we'll have a better chance to establish commercial production and produce the oil that we feel is present under the northwest quarter of 6 and protect correlative rights.
Okay, Tim, will you turn next then to Exhibit 5 and identify and discuss that, please?
Exhibit 5 is an identical map to Exhibit 3. However, it has the addition of some geologic information. That geologic information is a net isopach of the Tyler C sand, which is one of 2 producing sands in the Dickinson Heath Pool, the other sand being the Tyler B sand. However, the C sand is the main objective at our proposed exception location. This map shows the feet of net porosity in this C sand, for example, 6, 2, 10, and so forth on the map. When those values are contoured, we can see clearly that the Dickinson Heath sand, the C sand, which is mapped, consists of a series of separate or partially separate thin, narrow, chenier-type bar sands, and that if you drill a well off-trend from those thicker pods of that bar sand, you're very likely to establish non-commercial production. which is the case for the Unitex well, which has zero net sand, and the well immediately northwest of our proposed exception also has zero net sand. So we're speculating that this very narrow and thin trend that produces to the northeast of our proposed lake location within the Dickinson Heath water flood unit, that there may be an isolated and separate sand trending southwest on line with that, where that if we drill a well on a legal location, we would map it as being a zero sand location well on trend with the Unitex well, then we're likely to get a 2-barrel-a-day well type producer similar to what Unitex have and leave behind the oil that's present under that 160 and therefore not protect correlative rights if we have to drill the legal location.
Okay, in your depiction of this zone of porosity or the sands in your exception location is consistent with the general trend of the sands throughout the rest of this Dickinson Heath field, is that correct?
Yes, I only chose to map the immediate area around the sand for this display, but I have mapped the entire map area, and this trend is consistent throughout the entire mapped area that you have in front of you.
Okay, Tim, would you turn next to exhibit number 6, please?
Exhibit 6 is largely for completeness. It is a map on the same scale as exhibit 3 and exhibit 5 with the addition of structure contours on the Tyler, top of the Tyler formation in the Dickinson Heath zone 1 and 2 areas. And it shows then those contour data, those data points are then contoured to produce a structure contour map with 20-foot contour intervals. The both the legal location and the exception location are approximately the same structure contour, and that really does not affect our request for an exception because the producibility of the Tyler East sand is dependent upon whether or not you have the porous sand and not as particularly dependent on the structure. And in both cases, we're moving up dip from production in the field.
Okay, so the basis for your request is really your isopach map rather than your structure map.
And the cross-section, that's correct. And the logic that we feel we should be allowed to have the right for flexible locations which fit the geologic problems of the Tyler Heath, as has been allowed in the two newer or more modern fields in South Hart and Hart River.
Okay, Tim, do you feel that in your opinion, is it reasonably necessary to have this exceptional location in order to gain commercial production from this particular spacing unit?
We feel it is necessary to establish commercial production. We feel the legal location would be a non-commercial well.
Okay, and do you feel that your exceptional location will be protective of correlative rights?
Yes, we do.
And will it also prevent waste in the sense of leaving oil in the ground which would not be produced otherwise?
The legal location we feel would leave oil in the ground.
Okay. I have no further questions or witnesses. We would introduce at this time exhibits 1 through 6.
The exhibits will be accepted into the record. Are there any questions for Mr. Porter or Mr. Showalter?
One question, Tim. That dry hole in the southeast of 36 and 140-97, you don't have a display of logs on that. Did you have a look at the logs on that dry hole?
Yes, we did. I believe it is on the cross section.
I don't see it on your cross section here.
It's the southeast of, it's mislabeled. I'm sorry, it would be the Continental number 1 Ketmas, I can't pronounce that, K-E-D-R-M-A-S state, and there's a drafting error. That should be 36. Section 31, 36, I'm sorry.
Okay,
so the 3 was left on.
Okay, real fine.
We have looked at that well, and it had sample shows in the Tyler sand, and a drill stem test was run, and it tested tight, recovered 40 feet of mud with 587 pounds of shut-in pressure.
Okay, that answers my question. I was interested in that C zone. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Any other testimony? Not, thank you for your testimony. We'll close the hearing on case 2908.